Well, desire your prayers tonight. Put my thought up on the board. It's going to be on eagle's wings. And I'd like to start with Genesis, the first chapter. And in the 26th verse. It says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." I think that is a very important passage of Scripture. Because if God didn't make us, who did? And God is the source of life. God is the source of morality. Without God, there is no morality. The reason why God is such under attack, and the reason people want to discard and get rid of God, is so they can get rid of morality. Because if there's no God, then who is it that says? Who is the supreme force or idea that says what is right and what's wrong? What can we do or can't we do? But I'll suggest this to you. If there is a God, and he is who he said he is, and he created us, then he's got full authority to tell us what right and wrong is. It's God that chose what right and wrong is. We have no option about right and wrong. You can't change or make something right or wrong. Right or wrong is God's doings. So if there is a God, and you can accept the premise tonight there is God, then you have to accept the idea that God can make the rules tonight. And he said that he made man in his own image. I think that is very important tonight for us to get an understanding that he made man in his own image. I'm made in the image of God. There is a widespread idea that I can't help myself. I was born a certain way. You were made in the image of God. We're not animals. The world is becoming animalistic. And do you know if you remove God out of society, if you move him out of human life, the only thing left is to deteriorate back. That was recorded way back. In the days of Noah, it said, after men had taken their own way and taken on themselves, after the sons of God had met with the daughters of men, and after they had lost their way, they began to deteriorate away from God till they got to the place that the imaginations of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually. They got down to the very base existence of man. They became animalistic, fighting one another for everything, lust and all that pervaded the whole thinking of man because they had left God out of it all. Do you know that's where we'll head to? But we weren't created that way. Do you know sin is hard on humanity? Sin is hard on the body. Sin is hard on the emotions. Sin is hard on the karma of man, the whole existence of man. We weren't made to pack sin. We were made in the image of God. People are taking their lives and they're turning it over to the lust of the flesh to the degree that they're acting like animals. We kill each other. We kill our young by the multitudes. We're created in the image of God, but because of sin, we're acting like animals and killing genocide. We're killing our own offspring. We used to raise rabbits. We had to raise them. We had rabbits. And we always, when the female would have, the doe would have the little ones, you would have to separate the buck away. Because the buck would go in and cut the throats of the little ones. Oh, that's animalistic. Why does a rabbit even act that way? I could go into the details of why, but it's just the animalistic way of an animal. The buck does that so the animal or the female will come back into her cycle again because she won't as long as she's feeding her young. It's animalistic. We kill our own young, folks. How animalistic is that? But we're created in the image of God. And when I hear this argument that says, well, they can't help, they were born that way, I said, nobody's born that way. We're born to transcend animalistic ideas. We don't have to live down there like that. We were made, our bodies were to be the temple of the Holy Ghost. We're to live in our hearts and minds, our minds. Our minds isn't to be down there in the filth of all that. It's to transcend to better things. And when they look and say, well, there's an alternative lifestyle and they can't help it because, I think Brother Steve touched on it, you can't help it because they was born that way. There may be something that you look and say that's the way, but we're all made with things, but we're to transcend all that. We're not animals. I don't have to kill my brother for his things. I don't have to kill my offspring because I'm so selfish I don't want to raise them. I don't want to care for them. I got a busy life. I got the career. I've got things to do. Lord, help us tonight. We're a creator. You. And want the Lord to help us tonight. You weren't created to be a pack horse for sin. You were created tonight in the image of God. And that's where God wants you to be. Back in His image. Look with me at a scripture over in Exodus, the 19th chapter. In the third verse it says, and Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now this is talking about the deliverance that God delivered the children of Israel out of bondage. You saw what I done to those that would hold you. I destroyed them in the sea. You saw that, and how I bare you up. On eagle's wing, that idea, it talks of deliverance. It doesn't talk about just getting by either, or just barely pulling out. It's talking about something dynamic. It's talking about a quick, a powerful, but it's talking about more than that. It gets more to your mind than that. To be born on eagle's wings means that you ascend out of it. You ascend out of that problem. You ascend above it. You get above the ways that they were in, high up. I remember out in Oklahoma City Zoo, those been out there, they have an eagle out there. I think on a little plaque it tells its story. But it's in a cage. Eagles aren't to be in cages. But this one had an accident at some time, flew in, hit a truck or something, but they have a little plaque over there. But this eagle is sitting there with no top on the cage. Because his wings broke. He can't fly ever again. And he's sitting there. And you know, when I come and look there at him, you know, something kind of touched me inside. You know, I just passed the prairie dogs and hey, they don't fly. But didn't bother me none. I didn't expect prairie dogs to fly. Never seen wings on one. They just like to scurry into their hole real quick. That's what they do. But when I come and seen him sitting there on the ground, I thought, oh boy, that's a shame. That's a shame because you've seen this planet from way up there. You've soared where you've been, no doubt, free as you could be. To curve, to sail, to look, to see everything and what it really is. You know how much vision this guy has down where he's at? He's below the walkway. You look down at him there. He's got an eagle eye yet. But he can't see anywhere. Because he sits on the ground. He wasn't made to sit on the ground. And folks, you wasn't either. You wasn't meant to be down in to where men just lost. And oh, God created you in the image of God. And he wants to bear you on eagle's wings out of there. Out of there. Higher up. So you can be truly free. You can be free to live. Not free to do wrong. Free to live life. For what it is. Experience noble, honorable things. Experience love. Experience family, home. Noble things, good things. God wants you to experience His love. He wants you to experience the answer of prayer through Him. He wants you to see things much differently. The world is just being bombarded with one idea, and they chase after it and chase after it, and they're stuck on the ground, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. But I want to tell you something. The Lord wants to bear us on eagle's wings tonight. He wants us to get us above those kind of things. If we're not careful, we lose the idea of salvation and we get to bickering with one another. Folks, the Lord don't want us bickering around with one another. He wants us to sail on eagle's wings. Oh, we get offended if somebody says something again. You know, the Lord don't want us offended at things that people do. People will drag you down, and if they can, they'll say a word and you'll get discouraged and be put down. No, the Lord wants to put us on eagle's wings. I know people say things, listen, that don't bother me any. It don't bother me any. Jesus still loves me. I'm still above. I can be above those kind of things. Oh, the devil wants to bring you down. Several years ago now, I got in a situation I never imagined I'd ever be in. I had a guy so mad at me that he took a gun and stuck it right up to my head, gritting his teeth, cursing and swearing, I'm going to blow your head off. He didn't. I don't even know what made me say it. But I said, then do it. Now looking back at that, I thought, did I really say that? But when he did it, I said, well, then do it. Then do it. He tried everything he could, and the Lord protected me and all that. But you know what the Lord really done for me? After it was all over, you know what the Lord really done for me? I had a battle on my hands. I drove away from there, and when I left, I still told the guy, I'm sorry this happened, and all that. And I felt that way, and the Lord protected me physically, all those kind of things. But I drove away, but night come on. And time to think, come on. And the enemy come along. And he starts telling me. And that was abusive. It was a violation of my persons. My person was violated. So now what am I going to do? Am I forced always, folks? Am I forced always now because of this situation? Am I forced always inside me to be stuck in a cage? Do I have to stay down there where I hate a man? I hate him, despise him for what he done to me. Is that all that I can do? Do you know I was created in the image of God? Why should I accept that? I don't have to accept that. And do you know through God I was able to get grace for that? And I have to this day, I love that guy and I wish he'd be saved. And that's all in my heart. Thank the Lord. Because he bore me on eagle's wings. You know, I was able to get above all of that and look into a man's life that made him violent and make all that. And I can have compassion on that guy. Though he violated me, I can still have compassion because I ain't running with the flesh. I'm not dependent on this body and this flesh. But I turned it to the Spirit and I looked at Jesus and he helped me. And now I can soar. I can get above it and I look down on that. Do you know You can look down on your hearts tonight. God can make us. He bears us on eagle's wings. That was a deliverance for the children of Israel. It was powerful. He took him out of their bondage. He took them away. He took them by the power of God and took them out. I have a burden on my heart. It's been here for a long time, I want to express. I think about it regularly. It seems like every spring and early summer, it magnifies in my heart. Because I was, believe this or not, a young person once. And I remember the age where I made decisions. Bad ones. And I look and see many, many young people in the world. Just family members. I've seen friends. I've seen children of, or friends' children. I see the young people of the world. And I know every year there's children that turn from children to adolescents. And they come to a place that they make decisions that will ruin their lives forever. They make choices to start with alcohol. They make choices to smoke. They make choices to get involved in drugs. They make choices to get involved with one another. They make the choices of, and I think every year, Lord have mercy on the young people, and especially our young people. Lord have mercy on them. Teach them that they're not made like animals. Help them to know that you was created in the image of God. And they don't need to do that. They don't need to do that. It's not fulfilling, folks. It's not fulfilling. Young people, it's not fulfilling tonight. It will not fulfill you. And over, I'm a preacher, so I preached and I preached and I've told our young people, don't go that way. Don't get your heart over there on that. If you do, it'll be heartache. And over, the young people still go that way. And they still get in marriages that they shouldn't get into. And they give their hearts to things that they shouldn't get to. And over, I see the heartache of it. And I see the disaster of it. And I see after children is involved in it. And I see the separation of the home. And I see the children get in a inevitable cycle. Well, don't you ever see the cycle? You ever see the cycle work? And now another generation living at the pig trough. Another one destroying themselves. They weren't created that way. They're made in the image of God. They can soar just as high as any's ever soared. They can be successful. And yet, there's this idea, the lust of the eyes everywhere, the magazine racks at the stores, the billboards, all this, it's just bombarding. It makes our young people challenged with showing themselves. Listen, can I tell you something? You're young, you're beautiful, all of that, but you wasn't made to do that. It's something sacred and holy. It's your body. Don't just flippantly do that. It draws the wrong thing. It creates the wrong thing. He made you to soar on eagle's wings. Above all of that, into purity and good things. Not down there. I know of a situation and I looked at it and I said, oh, here we go again. But I knew these people that they lived a certain life. Their life was full of, it seemed like, especially Friday and Saturday night. Oh, this is Friday night. Tonight, all over the United States, there's a pattern that goes on. I knew these people and they would live selfishly, get out and do their things and all that. And inevitably they drink, they do that kind of stuff. Inevitably I saw this happen. I saw these couple. I saw them. They would call the police. The police would come. They're out there just a squalling, hollering at one another. The police is out there breaking them up. You see the scene? You ever see those scenes? These little eyes are looking out the window, trailer window. These little eyes, big eyes, are looking out there. 1 o'clock at night, looking out. Mom and Dad out there fighting with the police out there, struggling along. And you know what happened? The time went on. The time went on. One of these was a little girl. A little girl looked out there and saw that scene many, many times. Well, she grows up to be a big girl. She grew up way too fast. She was dressing like she was an old woman when she was a little girl. Folks, we weren't made that way. That's bad. That's not what God intended. He made us in the image of God. Not to live like that. But that's all she knew. It's all she saw. It's all they understood. So that's what they did. And they dressed, or she dressed like, Lord have mercy. Do you know that little girl grew up to be a teenager? She gets involved with a guy. She has a baby. Then guess what happens on Friday and Saturday nights? Here comes the police. And now it's her standing out into the street with her little boy. And out the window. The cycle keeps going. But do you know inside, I believe this tonight. Inside. Somewhere inside. There's a part that can be touched. Inside there's a part that longs to be free. They want to soar. They want to fly. Because there's something of God in all of us. There's a spark. You know, I read something. Marilyn Monroe, if you don't know who she was an icon of the late 50s and 60s. She died tragically. Even mysteriously. Overdose. A lot of scandal involved in all of that. Very much mixed up in a lot of things. But she died young. She died beautiful. But she died hard. She lived hard. You know, I read a book about her one time, and you know, she made a statement. Something to the fact that she really, all that she ever really wanted was a home and family. What? Somewhere down in a woman was a little girl with a dream, an idea, something maybe that I could fly. You think that really suited her all the way down into the, you know why she used the drugs? Because she couldn't sleep. And you want to know why she couldn't sleep? Because she couldn't fly. That's why. Too much. It's too much. Sin's hard on us. It's too much. Young people, don't run that way. Don't go that way. You wasn't made that way. Don't go that way. Don't flirt with those things. Wonder about that little girl hidden down there. Don't you have down in your heart when you hear those kind of things? Don't you wish you could have been the one to just to say, oh, I don't know, maybe it's a far-fetched idea, but wouldn't you want to have been the one to say, Marilyn, you can fly. You don't have to be stuck here. He'll bear you on eagle's wings. It don't matter what your past was. Jesus created you to fly. He created you for holiness and righteousness. You can be that way again through Christ. You've lost all of it that you could ever do. That old eagle there at Oklahoma City's done. His flying days is over. But Jesus has got a miracle for every one of us. You'll notice he didn't say we fly. He bears us. He bears us up. Elvis Presley was one of the most well-known musicians and artists in history. You know, he had a background of religious things. One of the sisters in our congregation worked for an old girlfriend of his, and she told this story. Said Elvis had just finished a concert. He was over in London. He had just finished a concert, and they had a after-concert bash. And they're all in there partying way up in, and finally Elvis comes in. And he comes in and stops everybody in their course and says, is there anyone in here that can quote me some scriptures? And they said, oh, Elvis, get out. What are you doing? Oh, no. Anybody. Down in him, with all that he'd ever accomplished and done, down in him was somebody that wanted to fly again. No doubt all that he'd ever done didn't satisfy him. It won't satisfy you either. You'll never attain to his riches. You'll never attain to his fame. You'll never attain to his musical abilities. But he just wanted to fly again. He also died tragically. And on it goes. And on it goes. I don't watch things like in the world and don't do those things, but every once in a while there's something that makes me very curious. There was a young girl who was the daughter of a country music star. And she became a Walt Disney fame. And like I said, never saw her perform an act and never did want to. But I kept up with it because I had an idea in my mind. And I wanted to see how it played out. And I told this to my wife back when she was in fame. I said, this is going to be interesting following this girl's life. And see, and I said, I can predict to you what will happen with this girl's life. And I predicted it right down to the T of what had happened to that life. And it had come true. And her name's Miley Cyrus, and she's a wreck. She's a mess. She's done all kinds of things, created things, because that's what created when she run after the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, and she's pursued, and she become big, and she all these things happened to her, and she couldn't handle it. Folks, she wasn't created that way. Oh, I wish I could say to her, you don't have to be that. God made you different than that. You realize tonight that you were created in the image of God. I don't know if that touches you or not, but it sure touches me. That he created me in his own image. I don't think it was like this of the flesh. He's not flesh. He's spirit. But what spirit is he? He's the Holy Spirit. He's a God of love, of goodwill, of good things. And he created man in that same purity, in that same idea. Lord, help us tonight. I want to be born on the eagle's wings. Lord, help me to soar above the things that happen in life. It's so easy to get caught. It's so easy to get stuck down into the things of the flesh, into the carnal life. It's so easy to get stuck down there and all of a sudden you're down there. Lord, I want to be able to fly. And Jesus' words, if you'll listen, I won't take the time, but if you'll start in Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount, and start reading that, it all speaks of lifting. Lifting. Soar, my brother. Don't be grounded. Don't be grounded. Soar in your life. Lift up above the other ones. Oh, and it says of those that do evil. No, don't return evil for evil. That's grounding yourself. That's keeping yourself down. You weren't created to be grounded down there like that. Soar above it. Lift up above it. Catch the current. Those eagles fly in the heat waves that comes off the earth. They're thermals. They call them thermals. And the thermals lift. And all the eagles have to do is spread their wings to the thermals and they ride the thermals. Without energy, without effort. They just soar the thermals. They see clearly. You want some vision tonight? You're made to have vision. The saints of God was to be able to judge the world. But be judged of no man. Well, they don't know who we are. The world looks at us and says, who are those people? What are those people? But we should give them an idea of being elevated. Being elevated. They look at us. They ought to say of our sisters. They ought to say of the men too. But the world, the word uses women here more. They ought to look at them and say, them's women professing godliness. There's women that are raised above the fashion and the fads of the world. They don't care about those things. They're soaring above those things. They got a vision of what raising children's about. Being godly. Showing the world what it's really ought to be like. Lord, help us tonight. Another scripture I'd like to look at. Oh, let's see. We'll try Matthew 14th chapter. Oh, let's see. 14 and about or 22nd verse, 14th chapter of Matthew. It says, in a straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him into the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Troubles. Trouble seas, difficulties, persecutions, sufferings, needs, wants, nakedness, distresses. All of those things, the challenge of our lives, come. You were made. You were made to be above them. I made you that way. I made you to be able to be above those things. Come, Peter. Nobody can walk on the water by themselves. But he said to Peter, "Come." You know, that's enough for me. The Lord saying, "Come," is enough for me. Come on. You want to expand your horizons? Come. You want to be able to hear the word of God spoke to you by the Lord? Come. You want to be able to tread on scorpions? Come. You want to be able to have victory over the enemies of your soul? Come. Whatever your need is, come. You were made better. I made you in my image. I walk on the water and you can too. You're in my image. Come on. Let's walk together. Lord, help us. Peter walked on the water, a mere man, a mere mortal, but the Lord said, "Come," and he come. Jesus wasn't the only one that walked on the water. Peter did too. But Peter had a little distraction here. And I want us to notice the distraction, because it really goes on as he walked above it. All of it was under his feet. It looked something like it destroyed him, but it was under his feet. It was all under his feet. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And he began to sink. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" You know, I have a little, of course, this is in hindsight, I realize, but I could have a little bit of counsel for old Peter here at this point. Don't look at the waves. you was doing good. You had it all right. Nobody else on the ship even dared ask, so I think that was pretty good. Peter said, "Lord, if it be you, I'm willing to try this." I appreciate that out of Peter. But when Jesus said, "Come," it was time to anchor your heart, your eyes, your mind, anchor it upon the Lord. I'm going to tell you, the one, we don't bear ourselves. We try. We attempt to lift ourselves up. The world has all kind of psychology and remedies for everything from marriages to get along with your neighbors to how to raise your children to all those things. Almost all of them is a failure. They don't work. They got bad philosophy and bad ideas. Men don't raise themselves up by their own bootstraps. It's the Lord that bears us on eagle's wings. He can lift us up above our problems and our difficulties and our troubles, and we can look back and say, "That was God. That I see the problem now. It looks different. It looks different from up here in the air. It looks, I'm not scared anymore up here. I can see the purpose of it. I see what it's doing. Now I can realize what that's all about. But God, the Lord wants to bear us up. Get us out of that old world of sin. Nobody is born to fulfill sin. I was born that way is a lie of the devil. It's a lie of the devil. You don't have to be that way. And of all the great challenges, let us take heart. In all the great challenges. Do you know that, Fanny Crosby wrote thousands of songs? You know she was blind? Well, I can't help it. I can't do anything, or I can't do that. Do you know, I think Fanny Crosby was born on eagle's wings. She didn't let that be something that hindered her, or say, this is just the way I am, or something. She was able to ascend. She transcended above that mortal life, above his flesh, above that, into a useful place in God. And she looked at the world in a certain way and was able to capture it by a gift God gave her that we still sing and are blessed today with. Because she was allowed the Lord to lift her up above the problem, she was able, in a sense, to walk on the water, the troubles of her life. Many men have been able to look at the difficulty in the situations, and the Lord bear them up above that till they're able to get spiritual good. One of the most beautiful song is the song that the guy wrote about, "'Tis well with my soul." Done in the most harshest circumstance, but he transcended. He was lifted up, lifted above that, the image of God. We see things better. We see it clearer. We see it eternally, for the things that are seen are temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. And we're able to see the more eternal things that the natural eye cannot see. We also have had C.W. Naylor was one that had an accident, as I understand it, and was what? Paraplegic. Quadriplegic. I don't know. I don't remember what use he had. He had little. Then what a shock. What a devastating thing to happen to a man in the prime of his life. But he transcended it after a while. He was born on eagle's wings. He was able to get above that and use the very thing to bless countless souls down through the ages with what he had wrote and what he had done. You know the story of Bunyan, who wrote Pilgrim's Progress. One of the most published and read stories outside the Bible in history. Do you know he wrote that from prison? He transcended it. Well, you say in prison? Do you know even in prison? You get the Lord. Well, song said palaces would prisons prove. Prison isn't nothing when the Lord's there. He'll make a palace out of it. You can fly. You can soar. You're created that way. You're created to hold the Holy Ghost in you. You're created to commune with God. You're made to do it. You're made to walk holy. It's not an abnormal thing for people to go there because you're made to. God made us that way. He made us to be able to do it. He made us to be able to return to it through Christ. We can return to that state once again the way God had created us to be. Thank God for it. But many, many men down through history went above it. We had an old brother in our congregation, MacArthur Buzzard. He was an old Marine. World War II Marine. I want to be honest with you about Brother Mac. He was a challenge to most people. Because when he prayed in prayer meeting, he prayed and prayed and prayed in prayer meeting. And when he dismissed in prayer, he gave it a good going. And Brother Mac could be a challenge in the testimony service. Because when he testified, he really testified. But I want to tell you something about Brother Mac. He got cancer on his face. And it started eating. And it started eating. And his wife was contrary to him and contrary to the Lord. And it kept eating. Kept eating. Got in his mouth. Until he couldn't really use his mouth. Took his ear off. Kept it bandaged up. We go to see Brother Mac. Well, maybe we need to encourage him. Oh, you didn't need to go. It was the other way when you went to see Brother Mac. Brother Mac had something. Brother Mac transcended the disease, the problems with his wife, the situation that he was in. He was born on eagle's wings. He went above all that and had a good attitude. He had a grace of life that you could feel in his life. You know what his desire was? He said, I don't want to get down. Because his wife was contrary to him. He said, I don't want to get down to have to be took care of. As I understand it, MacArthur Buzzard passed away the day he couldn't get up. God was faithful to him and bore him on eagle's wings the whole way through. And he saw victory. And folks, you can have the same victory tonight. Because of the Lord, He brings us the same. And we can fear the things out there. We can fear what might befall me. We can fear the things there. But I want to tell you, when you get up above it and look at it, you'll see the benefit and purpose of it. You'll see the reason for it. You'll be able to thank the Lord for it. Because you're up above all of those things. I appreciated that so much. We had another man in our congregation named Jim White. Brother Jim was my best friend. He was a man of God. A lot of people counted on him. He prayed for a lot of people. But he had a kind of a rough story. He went over to Europe, fought in World War II. As a young man, 22 years old. Jumped out of a plane over the Normandy beach, parachuted in. Ended up getting hit at one point with a German artillery round. Had German metal in his hip till he died. He was in a number of other campaigns. He was in Bastogne when the Battle of the Bulge. He went through all of that. He saw death. He saw destruction. He hardened his heart. And he come back home and he told me, he said, Brother Marty, when I come back home, he said, I saw the wife that I'd married before I left and the child that I hadn't seen for all those years. And he said, I had no human affections whatsoever. None. I had hardened my heart. He had hardened himself. What do you do when you see, what'd you do when you see your buddies blow up completely up and heads blow on arms? I don't want to be graphic, but it's what happened in war. What do? You sit down and cry, you weep, you mourn. No, you get up and you go and you harden yourself and you become a hard man. That's what Brother Jim did. And life wasn't good. Things happened and all those things. He made a shipwreck of marriage and of home and of family. And he would have said he did. But one day the Lord got a hold of him, talked to his heart, and showed him what a man he was. And he recognized it and admitted it before the Lord. And the Lord saved his soul. And he transcended. He transcended to one of the gentlest men I ever known. You wanted to get Brother Jim White to the altar, you start talking or preaching about gentleness. All you had to do is mention it. And the most gentle man in the whole congregation would go weeping to the altar because he valued it. He wanted more of it. He said he wanted to be a gentleman. He wanted the blessings of the Lord. The man transcended above. Oh, I was made this way. I was hardened. Somebody done me wrong. War did it. I got a lot of excuses. My daddy was an alcoholic. My mother was a drug addict. I saw fighting and all that. You can transcend that. You wasn't made that way. You was made to fly. You was made to fly. Brother Jim flew. I'm going to tell you how he flew. He was responsible for a lot of that carnage in his life. And there come a time that he went to our pastor, Brother Sammons, and said, and asked Brother Sammons some advice. It had got so bad in his home. His wife wasn't being faithful. I don't want to be graphic here, but she had actually people upstairs, those kind of things, and the home, and it got to the point, Brother Jim trying to live safe, it got to the point that Brother Jim went to Brother Sammons and said to Brother Sammons, I took all I can take, and what can I do? And Brother Sam told Brother Jim, said, Brother Jim, there isn't a soul on the earth that would blame you for getting out of there. He said, I'm going to tell you something right now. If you do, your wife will never be saved. Brother Jim considered that, put his shoulders back, and said, Lord, help me. And Brother Jim transcended what natural human beings would do. And he was faithful to her for 30 years, praying for her every service. I remember he was faithful. Every service, pray for my wife. Pray. He actually said in the plural, our wife. It was kind of funny. Pray for our wife. Pray for our wife. He did it faithfully, religiously, devotedly. He done it every service. And there was one particular service that we had, and he didn't say, pray for our wife. And I remember thinking, he's losing courage. Oh, no. Lord, help Brother Jim. Did you know the next service? Pray for our wife. Pray for our wife. You want to hear a conclusion? Before she died, she told him. She was so against the saints, so against God, so against everything. Before she died, she told Brother Jim, I want to be saved. They called for Brother Tony and Sister Jeannie, and they went over there, and she prayed through. And Brother Jim's testimony was, it wasn't just a haphazard conversion. He said she changed. It changed her whole life because of a man that flew high and transcended the things of life and then of the world and saw a bigger picture. You can't see the bigger picture on the earth, folks. You get down and wrestle around with flesh and blood and all that, you'll never see the clearer picture. You gotta transcend it. You gotta be born on eagle's wings, then you get up and you see the purpose of it all. He saw the greater purpose, and he prayed and was faithful to that kind of a life for 30 years. But she found salvation. Because inside her was a Brother Jim saw the whole thing. Inside of her was a wounded, hurt person that had a hard life and a bad husband and all those things that she couldn't get over and do. But 30 years of pleading with God, and she's able to transcend it too. Thank God tonight. We don't have to live down, be honest with you, like a bunch of pigs. Bigger brother will root the little brother out of the trough and starve him to death if he can. Without any, and when he goes to sleep, he sleeps fine. He has no conscience against it. Do you know that's the imaginations of the thoughts of their heart were only evil continually. Another scripture I'd like to look at is in the 142nd Psalm. In the 6th verse, it says, attended to my cry, for I'm brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I might praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. This psalm, my understanding of it is, was a prayer of David when he was in the cave, when Saul was chasing him. And he's in that cave. And my mind only can wonder, but I think this is what this psalm is referring to. David. He faced a bear one time. And he slew it. That must have been a thrill. I mean, we're human. That must have been a real kick. Took care of that bear. He took care of a lion. That's pretty brutal. I mean, that's pretty good. It's a thrill. It's also inhuman. It took God. God was with him, and he found God. He was also the one that, as a young lad, went up and faced Goliath. Not a normal man, a giant. A giant and a soldier from his youth, a man of war from his youth. Someone that knew how to battle, knew how to war, and was experienced in many battles. 9'9". That's a big man. David was the one that took him down, and through the glory, he never claimed he'd done it. David never claimed he done. He said, I come in the name of the Lord. It was the Lord that gave him strength and victory of it. And oh, how David. Listen, folks. I think I've captured, the Lord's helped me to capture the feeling of this psalm. Because I really feel like that I can testify to you tonight of the wonders of God's work. You know why? Because I'm free. Because I'm free. And I can tell you of how God blessed me. And God's healed our children. And how God's come to the rescue. And God's been a mighty God to us. And I didn't testify to you that, but I'm standing free. He's in a cave. A few men around him in a cave, stuck in there. And he's going to say, and he's going to brag and say, God's a deliverer. Come on, David, we're in a cave stuck in here. Where's deliverance? So, he pleads with the Lord. Lord, I want to testify. I want to testify again. I want to glorify you. I want to fly. I want to be born on eagle's wings again. I want to be able to testify that you can have grace over any situation. That God is the victor of every situation. I can't do it stuck in this cave. It don't fit. I can't do it from down here. This is defeat. I'm in a cave. My enemies around me. I don't have freedom to fly. I'm stuck. And so his prayer was, Lord, deliver my soul from this prison. Deliver me out of here until I can testify to the wondrous works of God again. That I might be able to speak forth the word of God, that I might be able to soar like I was created to soar. You know, I know faith is a hard thing sometimes to get a hold of, but do you know we were created to have faith? We were created to love. I'm not talking about a human selfish love. We were created to love. We were created to value holy and pure things. We were created to see the beauty of God in His creation. To see those things, to live those things. To have the simple things of life, maybe. For me, in my house, we'll serve the Lord. You can present all that you want to me of the flesh and of all those ideas. But I wouldn't trade it for one snowy night in West Virginia with the fireplace crackling and my loving family playing around me. I would not trade it for nothing. I want to be able to present to my children and the generations to come. I want my children to learn how to soar. I want them to learn to value the holy and the right things. And tonight my heart goes out to those young people coming from the children age. I know there's a lot of abuse in children, but they're learning so quick. You ever hear the name JonBenet Ramsey? You ever remember that name? There was something that's plastered in my vision. A little, about 7-year-old, wasn't she? 6-year-old girl made up like a harlot. The picture, she was beautiful and made up like a woman 30. And I looked at that when they said something happened to her and it was going all that. I saw that picture and I said, it isn't any wonder. Why do we live down there like that? And this little girl paid the price. And listen, our country, our nation, our schools, Brother Donnie will tell you, they're paying the price. They're paying the price for this. It's not going to get any better. There's not going to be a great turnaround. There is God can do a lot of things, but I'm going to say this. I don't believe there's any turnaround. I've never known in history where a nation has turned and where it has turned back on a grand scale. It doesn't happen. Folks, this stuff is just more and more. Less faith in God. Less fear of God. Where's the fear of God? Where's the fear of wrong? Where's that, all that? And more, just exploiting one another, exploiting children, exploiting. Lord, help us tonight. You wasn't created that way. You wasn't created that way. You was created to be above it. So tonight I want to offer, in the name of the Lord, a flight for you. It isn't a flight one time. It's continual soaring. You can live life. Oh, I know there's troubles, there's ups and downs. We know there's some things in life, but through them all, the Lord wants to bear us up on eagle's wings. Amen.